Hello, and welcome to the Stay at Home Schooling Mom podcast. My name is Ginny Supert. I'm joined by my good buddy, Mary Ellen Barrett. Today, we have a really interesting topic with sort of an international flair. But first, we'd like to draw your attention to our primary sponsor, Seton Home Study School. Seton is the premier Catholic home study school and has been serving families for over 40 years. I could give you their website, but if you just put S-E-T-O-N, Seton Homeschooling into your search engine, it's sure to come up. Lots of really great information on their website. But now enough of that. Mary Ellen, would you like to introduce our guest?
I am delighted to. Today we're being joined by Therese Habana. Have I got that right? I hope I have that right.
Habana.
Thank you. Yeah. She is a homeschooling mom from the Philippines. I don't know if you knew this, but we have a large Catholic homeschooling population in the Philippines, and a lot of them are enrolled with Seton. And it's just, it's a wonderful community. I've had the privilege of working a little bit with them here and there on Facebook. And Therese has agreed to join us and tell us a little bit about what it's like to homeschool there. She is a homeschooling mom of four active boys. Oh, so she's tired. They range from 18 to 4 years old. So she's got the whole gamut of people in there. She's an active volunteer parent in the Catholic homeschooling families, the CHF community in the Philippines. She's an entrepreneur and a full-time homemaker to her husband of 20 years. Her family has been homeschooling using Seton Home Study since 2017. And homeschooling works amazing for their athletic boys. She has two triathletes, one jiu-jitsu martial artist, and one preschooler who never runs out of energy. They never do run out of energy, do they? Mm-hmm. So homeschooling families fondly call her Mommy T, which I think is so wonderful. That's so sweet. So Therese, tell us, what led you to homeschooling?
Back in 2013, we used to live in the United States, in Colorado, and we attended this Catholic conference. There was a talk that Danielle Bean gave. I was so inspired by her. And back then, I only had three boys, and they were so little. And it felt like I kind of was embarrassed to complain about running a household of three little children. And here she was, having 10 kids at that time, writing, editor-in-chief of Catholic Digest, and writing books. And it felt like maybe the next thing for me to do is to homeschool my children, who were then 8, 3, and 2. So it was really fun for me. And I didn't know anything about other curriculums yet. I just started doing it on my own. So I discussed it with my husband and our like a group of women. We gather and meet every month for formation. And they were helping me decide that, you know, homeschooling is really good, because among the group, we were the only ones left in the public school. And they were like, why are you still there? So it was nice. And when we moved to the Philippines in 2014, we had to put them back in for a traditional school for 2 years. But eventually, because since we still keep moving, I decided that we should be the constant in the boys' life instead of, you know, moving to a different place and moving to different schools. And in the Philippines, if we move around, you know, the kids had to adjust to our language in Cebu, where we're at. And then we have to move to Manila and another language. Uh-huh. So when they're in school, it's kind of challenging for them to adapt. So homeschooling made it really easier and helped the kids to be very confident, which is which has been a good decision ever since. You know, we did it since 2016. Yeah, I think 2016 until now. Yeah.
That's great. Now, could you just explain a little bit for our listeners like myself who don't know, what are the different languages in the Philippines?
Our official language is called Filipino, but mostly based on Tagalog. That's the Filipino language that you probably know. Mm-hmm. But in Cebu, we speak Cebuano. So there are different words, totally different language. So my kids are familiar with Cebuano than the Filipino. So my oldest son took Filipino as a foreign language for Seton.
Really? That's great.
He's like, you have no right to learn another language. Learn this first. So, yeah, so it started with that academic and also, of course, the character formation for them. And seeing them grown up now, it, you know, you kind of see the fruits of the homeschool years when they were little. So we made the best decision. And Seton, for me, helped them grow in faith and actually helped us grow in faith as well, because they're like, I think my boys are well-read more than I am because of the beautiful books that you offer for homeschoolers.
That's true. Jenny and I both talk about that a lot, that we learned a lot alongside of our children, yes, especially about the faith. Right, Jenny?
Oh, absolutely. And I went to Catholic schools when they were still very, very Catholic. But I still learned a lot. There's nothing like the beautiful materials that Seton sends out. Even the artwork, all of that is just so beautiful to see. You know, when I started homeschooling, which was when there were still dinosaurs on the earth. well, like many Catholics, I would say at that time, the reason that I enrolled was because I wanted to give my kids a real, true Catholic education. Yes. And that was getting harder and harder to find. I would say now in the United States, we get some of that. But I would say quite a few of our new families coming in is just our government schools in the United States do not do a very good job of teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, you know,
basic skills. Yeah.
We do a really poor job by the government's own estimation. They realize they're not doing that well. And private schools are expensive now in the U.S. So what is the situation in the Philippines? Do you think most people do it because they want the faith formation or because the government schools are not what you would like them to be or private schools expensive? Or
just based on the people that I know who are into homeschooling, mostly started homeschooling because they want academic excellence. Mm-hmm. And then they started shopping for a curriculum. And then they've, like the Catholics that I know, or even other Christians, then they realize that there's more to academic excellence in homeschooling. And then they kind of make it a Christ-centered curriculum. So they're actually changing families in the Philippines. I mean, it's a very beautiful gift. I once told a friend that homeschooling is a gift that keeps on giving. It never ends, you know, the graces that you get from homeschooling. And since we are homeschooling, we kind of affect our friends who do not know anything about homeschooling, our families. So I'm one of the lucky ones that my in-laws, my mom, and my siblings are all supportive of our homeschooling decision. And it's not like that for other families. It's usually question and, are you capable? Are you patient enough? Or are your kids going to be normal? So it starts
that
with
here too.
Yeah, that's universal, it seems.
We get yes. And the socialization issue, which never ends. And so that's the main thing, the academic excellence and the character formation. And we just, I think in the US as well, during the pandemic, we just became like there were so many people who asked us about homeschooling. So in 2020, I organized along with other moms here who are mostly Seton moms to have like a conference online just to answer everything. But we focused on Catholic homeschooling and we asked our children to present. And also, we had Kai to represent Seton and other representatives for other Catholic curriculum. So they kind of know the different methods and the ones that are available to the Filipinos. So when we started the group that I mentioned to you about, the Catholic homeschooling families, last year we were 56 families. And it's big because we're just based in Cebu. Maybe some like outside Cebu, but since they can't attend anything online. And then this year, we are only about half of it. Because some are going back to traditional school and some have graduated. Like they're going to senior high school and college. So,
okay. Well, that's
we call those COVID refugees.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen and I both worked for Seton during COVID. And
I'm sure you were busy.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness. We were doing live chat where it just would answer questions. And it was people from the United States, but people from Central America like crazy.
Yes. Yeah. It was crazy. I was watching, you know, you'd pop onto like Facebook or Instagram and all these people are like, I'm baking bread and I'm reorganizing my kitchen. And I'm like, I'm working.
And working and working.
I want to bake bread.
And the calls were coming in. You couldn't keep up with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Seton, we close to doubled our enrollment, I think. And we have lost some of those families as we expected we would, but yeah. Some have stayed.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some have stayed. They realized what a great education it was, the chance to be close to your children. I think when people talk about socialization, what I always point out, if you see like in the United States, some weird kid walking down the street with rainbow colored hair and, you know, tattoos and piercings and everything, he's not homeschooled. The weird kids in the United States are not homeschooled.
Well, they're weird in a different way.
They're weird, weird in a different way. They're weird because they're like nice and polite,
right,
and
yeah.
They go to mass. That we're weird that way, I suppose.
Could be. Or they walk out on a group.
Yeah. So, yeah, I find it very interesting, too. You know, Seton has students also in the United Arab United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
And we have in Qatar. But a lot of those are Filipino families as well.
Yes, I know.
That are working abroad.
Yes.
So I guess Filipinos are born with like wheels on their little feet. And they just go all over the world to work. So it's sort of interesting. I noticed that you have partner centers in the Philippines with Seton. I think it's what we would call in the United States co-ops.
I don't know what you mean. Are those the support centers where Kai used to teach?
Yes, I think they are. Just we're referencing Kai. Kai is a teacher who represents Seton in the Philippines. She's a Filipino lady. Actually, now she's in California. She got married. She's beautiful. She was a beautiful bride. She was such a pretty bride. But she helps facilitate homeschooling for families in the Philippines, the time differences and the shipping and all of the getting set up.
Helpful.
Yes. And just to backtrack for that for a second, what you were saying about seminars and conferences, and you had your children participate and present and try to encourage people to homeschool. I noticed on our web, our Facebook pages, that you guys do a lot of that kind of thing. You have like monthly seminars and
it's activities.
To help support the families in their homeschooling. Can you tell us a little bit how you organize that? I know you're an active volunteer in that kind of thing.
We start our school year around July, mostly volunteer parents. So we kind of organize it formally so that there's no chaos. So based from 8 moms in 2021 during the pandemic. So we started doing the activities, like started with anointing day. So holy mass, and we have the anointing of the oil at the end of the mass to bless our homeschooling year. And mostly it's a symbol to start our school year, regardless of where your family is at. Mm-hmm. And then there's this July, we had a mini conference of just among us, a few volunteers who present their way of homeschooling to everyone. So if you want, you can present. Like, we had a booth for each family who would like. So we were one of those who presented, and to share your homeschooling philosophy, the curriculum you use, how it affects your lifestyle, how is your day normally. And then we kind of learn from each other, because there are also other young families who just recently joined with preschoolers or just young graders. So it kind of helped. And sometimes the elders, or we call them the legends, the ones whose kids graduated already.
The legends. I love that.
Or the relic.
they would participate, and then they would also give talks, and even their daughters would help facilitate activities. So it's very special. It's really a community, like a family. And after that, so I'll just speak of the things that we've done recently. After that, it's called Month of Language. It's a Filipino celebration every August. So the kids dress up in all their Filipino costumes and they just play a game. You know, the Filipino game, the everything from preschool to older kids running around. Like, it was just like a family affair. But the common denominator in all our activities is we always started with a rosary and a mass, and then a fellowship of lunch, and then a program. And it's actually an excuse for moms to gather.
Yeah, I find a lot of homeschool activities of that.
Just let them play. Like, we kind of have this for a few hours and then just let them play. This month, I'm organizing an arts and literary festival. It will be on September 30th. And our theme is celebrating the history of our celebration through arts and literature.
Wow, that sounds amazing. That really sounds lovely. Yeah.
It also sounds like you have priests that are supportive.
We have a spiritual director, and he usually gives the sacrament. We also have other priest friends from other, other groups. So we have a priest from St. John's, Brothers of St. John's, a friend priest from Opus Dei, and Causa Ni Maria. It's a Marian group. So these are the priests that we ask for confession to for the children. Like, my family would go and have appointments with these priests, and then we go for confession. And for the Catholic homeschooling families, they're the ones who sometimes give talks that you mentioned, the seminars, that's appropriate for the parents and sometimes for the older kids. And the masses and First Communion and all the sacraments that we need for the kids. Wow.
I'm going to stop you right there because I want to hear a lot more about this, but we have to stop for a sponsor break. We have lots of great sponsors here on the podcast. Seton is just the primary one. So I'm going to ask you to hang on for a minute, listeners, and just listen to our sponsor, and we'll be right back with more from Therese.
It's great. I think my Seton education really gave me a lot of the truth, but it was cool to go into an area where you could dialogue with other people and kind of pursue the truth in a different way than just than receiving it. To learn not only in the class how to be good or what is good, but then to also learn outside the class, learning from learning through relationship. I've grown so much as an individual because I can engage not only with the text we read in class, but anything I encounter in the world, I am able to say, okay, this is Hegel talking. I can figure out how to find the truth with people who don't even really know how to dialogue well, because I've been taught so well how to dialogue in the classroom and outside of the classroom with sparring with friends.
I'm Anthony
Klein, a Seton Home Studies School graduate and a junior here at Belmont Abbey's Honors College.
The Honors College at Belmont Abbey. To learn more, visit www.bac.edu/honors.
Thank you for hanging out with us, and please give our sponsor a checkout on their website. We are back with Therese Habana from the Philippines. She is giving us a kind of really deep dive look into what it's like to homeschool in the Philippines. In case you are unaware, there is a large Catholic homeschooling community in the Philippines, and Therese was just explaining to us how supportive her priests, that there are priests there who support their Catholic homeschooling community. How did you develop these relationships? So many of us, just to explain, so many of us here in the United States have a real struggle getting sacraments for our children, finding priests to do even things like homeschool masses. And, like you described, a beautiful opening the year blessing where the priest was anointing the children and blessing their books and things like that. We really struggle for that kind of support. So how did you find priests who are willing to do that and cultivate those relationships?
The group is composed of different families who attend their means of formation in different spiritualities. So our family and some families go to Opus Dei centers. Mm. other families go to St. John's, and then others are active in their charismatic group. So we have, it's normal in Filipino families to have priests that are friends to your family. So it's not unusual in our culture. So if and like the legends that I mentioned to you, they're the ones who have friends also that are priests who helped us from the very beginning. And so if they're not available, we have other priests who are willing and able and, you know, would like to do the sacraments and the talks and the masses for the families when we need to. So it's really not difficult for any family at all, not even even if you're not homeschooling, to go to a priest, have a mass specially intended for your group, go to your house.
Wow.
For a blessing. So
you realize I'm committing the sin of envy right now.
Yeah.
We really do not have that here in the States. Although we have, I homeschooled my kids in Chicago, and there's a big Opus Dei presence in Chicago. And you never meet a priest of Opus Dei who's not willing to listen to your confession.
Yes.
So we all got confession and spiritual direction. But it's not, we don't have what you have, that's for sure. Like
well,
I said,
I think that there are so few priests in America now, you know, and they're busy.
Probably.
But I mean, cultivating friendship with priests is certainly, I mean, I have friends who are priests and they come here for dinner and stuff, but to like nail them down for a mass is really hard, you know,
well,
and
I
what
will.
they'll say is come to a daily mass and then, you know, I'll bless you after, but like to have a specific homeschooling mass, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
It is very tough in the United States. We have a shortage of priests, although this is sort of off topic, but I'll tell you just to make them sound really good. In the United States, our churches were closed for a while. A priest in my son's parish calls him up one day and says, you know, I'm going to be taking a walk around your neighborhood. And my son says, well, that's nice. He says, anybody who wants to walk with me can be absolved of their sins by the end of the block. He literally walked around the block. He walked around the block and different family members would go out and walk for a block with him and get absolution. And then afterwards we went into the backyard and he gave us Holy Communion.
Oh, that's nice.
So there are some really heroic, wonderful priests. There are. And I want to give a shout out to that. But I admit, Therese, I am so jealous of the situation that you have. You are really, really blessed.
Yeah, that's a wonderful situation. That really is. And the fact that you guys build community that way, and you have your conferences and that you share your different methods and that your children are active participants in doing that. You know, I really think that's special when say you have a 12-year-old who says, yes, this is how we homeschool and this is why I like it. Maybe I don't like this so much about it, but we do it anyway. And I think that's really a nice testimony, a nice witness to what you parents are accomplishing. I think that's really special. And maybe our listeners are listening and thinking, oh, you know, we could do that here in our community. We could maybe do that in somebody's backyard or on the deck or, you know, at the local gym or something like that. I think we could all be inspired by that kind of story. Really.
Yeah.
Really well done there.
Sharing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
just one thing that kind of came up, I think, was the legality of homeschooling in the Philippines. And like Seton Home Study School, apparently it's almost like if a Filipino student went to Los Angeles and graduated from high school there and would have an American diploma, sort of the same idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The question mostly asked by Filipino parents to a homeschooling family would be, is it accredited by the Department of Education? And Seton is not, because I don't know what's the requirement, but for many students from Seton, they have no problems enrolling here. It differs from which university or what program your kid wants to enroll to, and they have different requirements. So some you need SAT, some you just need a transcript and their own entrance exam, and that's it. Nothing.
Right. So you have to be aware of what they want.
Yeah, since I'm not really familiar with the homeschooling law here, but for primary education, there's a Department of Education. But for college and higher graduates, studies, it's College of Higher Education. It's a different entity. So that's my answer. Like, why do you want to be, I mean, why are you worried about it when your son or daughter is in college? It's no longer under the Department of Education. It's a totally different, like, governing body that has its own rules and regulations. And also because they're private universities, they can admit whoever they want. I mean, there are many international students here. So they're not necessarily admitted as an international student, because once they pass the college entrance exam, they can always go to that school.
Right. Okay. So it's just a matter of being familiar with where your child wants to go and what they need to do to get there.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't really. And when they're in kindergarten, don't worry about that yet.
I know.
You know, parents panic. One of my favorite questions is, you know, what are you going to do when you have to teach calculus or physics? And I'll say the kid hasn't learned how to read yet.
Yeah. Worry about today's problems. Don't worry about tomorrow's problems.
I used to joke and say, maybe I'll be dead by then. Worry about it. I'm not talking about that now.
Interesting. For those of you who might be listening in the Philippines, Seton does have, we are an American school, obviously, and our history courses are American, but we now have a history course, a Philippine history course that I think is geared for sixth graders, but you can switch it up and, you know, you could do it in fifth grade or fourth grade or, you know, whatever you feel your child is ready for. So I just point that out. And you don't have to be enrolled in Seton to buy the course. You can enroll in just that course. So it's a Catholic Philippine history course. So I just throw that out there as a little unpaid commercial for Seton.
We have many families who are not enrolled with Seton, but they buy books from the website.
Oh, good. Yeah, good to know. You can do
we
that.
We have that in the States too. That's real common.
Because they envy the curriculum.
Well, they're pretty books and they're very, you know, they're very highly academic. So, I mean, that is a good thing. Giving another plug to our sponsor there.
I have to tell you, years ago, I was asked to record a talk when we were just starting to get Filipino families enrolling at Seton. And Seton asked me to record a short talk that we could, you know, send the video to them. And I didn't know the first thing about home education in the Philippines. But there was a very nice lady who lived right near Seton. I think her kids were enrolled with them, and she was from the Philippines. And they said, well, why don't you give her a call? So I spoke to her, and one of the problems with homeschooling, I think, is you get some mom. Now, you have four kids, they're boys, they're active, and you have a household, and you have to keep it clean, and you have to get dinner on the table, and you have to shuttle the kids around, in your case, to their martial arts classes. And we're so overwhelmed. But I had heard, and I didn't know if it was true, again, I didn't know very much, that it's easier to get domestic help, somebody to help you clean or cook in the Philippines. And I asked her about that. I said, is that true? And she's, well, it is. She says, yeah, you can do that. She says, but like, if you have a baby, your mom will come help, your aunts, your sisters, everybody comes helps you. I said, oh my word, I was all by myself. I could have been on a desert island. And I think that's typical in the United States. You have a lot more family support, don't you?
Yeah, that's why we moved back.
Oh, really? It is. Oh, okay, that's great, though.
Well, I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years in the U.S., and I lived like an American mom. Like, I did everything by myself for the three boys. And now here I'm older. I have a staff to help me, and I'm still busy. I was like, maybe I'm really older. So I used to be like all over the place. And now I am busy with other things other than chores, but still managing the household. So it's also not easy to hire someone reliable, but our family has been blessed to have a reliable and trustworthy staff in the house. And I don't call them household help. I call them my assistants. And my angels, because I couldn't do my apostolate, my homeschooling, my business, being a wife, if they don't take care of the chores through the house. So
that's a wonderful attitude to have about it, too, because you're blessing another family by hiring somebody to do the work that that you can't accomplish and still do the work that you want to do. So you're providing income to somebody else's family and you're keeping yourself sane and being able to, like, you cannot do everything. And that's, there's nothing. She's not
this
crazy.
This is a big problem in the States. Lots of moms stop homeschooling just for that reason.
Because they think they have to do everything. There's nothing wrong with hiring out help for whatever it is that you can hire out help for. That is perfectly reasonable and actually a very smart thing, whether it be household help or, you know, a little bit of secretarial help if you need somebody to do some paperwork for you or whatever it is. Hire the help and just relieve your mind a little bit.
But in our homeschooling community right now, what's normal is not having a household help. So it's becoming rare these days.
Huh.
Like, they see the beauty of raising their children, doing their own chores.
But on the other hand, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, you're more likely to get help from grandma or aunties.
Or... me, from my sisters and my brothers. Sisters. So if I have to leave somewhere, they always know my schedule and they always have the kids with them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So very
for that.
Yeah.
My mom died before I had 6 or 7 kids after my mom died. So I didn't even have anybody to watch the kids when I had the baby. My kids.
My mom came to the U.S. when I had my third. She stayed with us for 6 months.
Oh, that's so, that is a nice mom.
And it's pretty normal for Filipino families to have their parents to visit or sometimes migrate with them. Oh, it starts by being the grandma to take care of the newborn.
Yeah.
some parents, they come back to the Philippines. They can't live in the U.S., but some they really stay. So it's typical to have extended families in the household. It's normal.
That's very old school. Like, that's the way my parents grew up in Brooklyn. Like, everybody lived on the same block.
My
it wasn't
too.
Always in the same building, but it was on the same block. So everybody was in and out of each other's houses and nobody had to worry about childcare and, you know, that, and everybody had extra help when somebody had a baby or somebody was sick.
Yeah.
And now we're so, so spread out, you know, it's very typical. Like, my parents retired 1,000 miles away from me. So when they got sick, it was a giant pain in the neck.
Yeah.
You know, homeschooling was such a blessing then because I had to keep going back and forth and going back and forth. So I love that idea in the Philippines that you get, not only is it possible to hire help, but you have family so close to you that if you need somebody, somebody's there, your sisters are there, somebody's there for you.
But our families now are also the homeschooling families. So you have a family like tragedy or crisis. You don't need to call us. We will be the one mobilizing everything.
Yes.
So that everything is taken care of. Your children are fed. You have a doctor friend that will come because one homeschooling family is a doctor. Just an example. So we are also like that to each other.
Friends who became family.
It's pretty a very intimate community. And the kids are like, you know, they grow up from preschool up to teenage years, and it's a very beautiful community. So we are blessed in that part that we get to homeschool with this with these people who share, you know, our goals, and we always say we homeschool for heaven. And it's not common to talk about that with other families. They might think you're weird. Why would you homeschool for heaven? They wouldn't understand, but, you know, once, but you see this, the thing about family that you describe, my homeschooling family here are also like my real family, because they're the ones we always see every month or during, like, we have rehearsals for the age group activities.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a choir practice for them to prepare for mass. So there's always an excuse to see each other. Despite the busy schedules, and that's what the kids look forward to. And like my son, I would sometimes leave him to his friend's house on a Friday. They would play, or they would, I don't know, practice piano. But it's like that. So it's like free daycare. but
it's community.
Yes.
And, it's community. Yes.
Before I had my fourth baby, we had a Wednesday activity in our house. We would bake. We would have lessons, whatever it is. And then it was fun. And, you know, I liked having many children here. And I don't mind parents leaving their kids here with me. But now it's different. It's a different season for us. It's the busiest season. The kids are grown up. We are a homeschooling family, but we are rarely at home.
Oh, I get that. I understand, especially when your children are as involved in sports to the level that your kids are. You're on the road a lot. And that's where homeschooling is also helpful. Yeah. It gives you that kind of freedom. Well, I want to thank you so much. I have to tell you, to our listeners, we are working at 12-hour time differences here. So Ginny and I are early in the morning, and Therese is in the evening. She's probably exhausted because she's had her long day already. She said something about being old. Ginny and I are looking at her. She looks like a teenager. She does not look like she has an 18-year-old son. So I want to thank you so much for staying up and doing this with us. Oh, and look at the 4-year-old. She's showing us her little one. He's adorable. You have probably heard him a little bit in the background. We are a mom podcast, and we do not mind that there is little people noise in the background. We love that. Hi, sweetheart.
Hello. He thinks that's crazy talking to somebody in the States.
My oldest son just came from the U.S. for summer, 2 months. Raced for 3 triathlons there and joined the national race, and he qualified.
But for him, congratulations.
Our surprise, yeah. I haven't been updating that. You know, you submit some achievement to Seton.
Yes.
Maybe they're so tired of my posts about triathlon.
Just keep sending them. We get hundreds, you know, to the magazine, but just keep submitting them. He'll get in there at some point, I promise.
I keep forgetting now, and it's like, but maybe I'll submit the one where he joined the national office. It's in the U.S.
You absolutely should. You know the editor. So, you know, you might get in there. Yeah. Thanks again, Therese.
We really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah. And please
nice to meet you too.
Homeschool community, love from the United States.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And thanks again for listening. And if you don't mind heading over to wherever you listen to podcasts and giving us a nice 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. And share the episode with anybody you think might be interested. We really appreciate that too. And we will see you next Wednesday when the podcast drops. Thank you and God bless.
God bless.
And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Seton Home Study School. Seton Home Study School is a nationally accredited, faithfully Catholic, private distant learning school that serves students from pre-K through 12th grade. There are currently 17,000 homeschool students enrolled in Seton Home Study School and many, many more who use their books and materials, including several small Catholic schools. Since 1983, Seton Home Study School has faithfully served the homeschool community in the United States and all over the world. Please check out their website, setonhome.org, for more information. And thank you, Seton Home Study School, for sponsoring the podcast, The Stay-at-Home Schooling Moms.